We're a little late in starting. We're going to use the first hour today, or what's left of it, to prepare for the board, for the meeting with the board. And then after that, we will return to this room and I think just to have a brief powwow about what we've heard since we last met from people that we've spoken to or meetings that we've attended, and just have a sort of orientation session, identify the major issues that will benefit from face-to-face discussion, and then set up a process to take us from here to our final report. And just as if I can just put in my bid on this, I think we should probably, Alice, revive our fortnightly calls, and those will be nice pulse points, if you like, so that we can to act as an incentive for us to do the work that we will be promising to do. Okay, so I'm just waiting for a couple more people to join us, and then we'll get started.
So for my planning, I can go out. I have to buy something before the shop is closed and then come back later. That's okay.
Yes. Lutze, you might want to... So in 1 hour's time, or just short of 1 hour, we'll be having our session with the board, and...
Okay.
I think would be a good
one.
And then maybe...
We'll join at night from my time.
Yeah, and then...
We'll come back very late.
Okay.
Okay, thanks. Thanks for the update. Bye.
Hello, everybody. I think we'll get started now that we've got our coffees and we're all orientated. We will be going across to meet with the board at 9:15 local time. And so what I'd like to do is use this time now to think about that session, which is an important session. It's our first and will be our only face-to-face with the board during our life as the review team. And as well as hearing, we had a call with them a couple of weeks ago where we took them through the recommendations. I think that it's fair to say that many of them have actually read the report, which is encouraging. And so I'm hoping that we won't have to spend much time today doing show and tell, but really have an interactive dialogue, which would be very useful. Peter and I were just having a chat before everybody arrived, and one of the issues that I would particularly like to discuss while we have the opportunity, before we go into the deep dive of what they think about the individual recommendations or typos or whatever, is to try to open up a discussion about the role of this is now a review team process. The affirmation of commitments reviews will be running more or less constantly. They will either be just about to be formed, doing their work, or at implementation pretty much constantly. There are a couple of things in, but the continuity of the process has not yet, I think, been explored, and that's something that I'd quite like to spend some time on if we do. So that's my bid for it, or what I'd like to discuss. Is there any other issues that we would like to raise, Peter?
Just briefly, I fully support that. I think that's one of the really important sort of broad questions to discuss with the board. We've talked about this a fair bit within the review team, as I'm sure we're all aware, in broad terms, as we keep looking forward to the next review team ourselves. In terms of the way that we've crafted particular recommendations, wording-wise, I think it's been very challenging for us to figure out the exact role of what these new AOC review teams, how they fit into the broader ICANN structure. So I think a sort of a high-level strategic discussion with the board would be great. And then probably before we go into the detail, but at the same time we could flag that some of our recommendations are actually looking at the review teams in this way. I mean, a good part of what we've done with accuracy is actually look forward to the next review teams and try to make sure they're better set up than we were in terms of having actual factual data to work with. I fully support that suggestion.
I don't know if it'll come up, and I'm not going to raise it if it doesn't, but there has been a theme both in Steve Crocker's mail to me, but also in a one-to-one that I had with another board member about the role of the board on quality control, which we discussed the other day. I'm not going to raise that unless it is actually, you know, brought forward on behalf of the board. It might well be. That was my plan. I don't know what any of you, what views any of you have on that.
I missed a word. Not going to bring up the.
Oh, so in Steve Crocker's email to me, there was a sort of question about how the board should ensure quality of output from these reviews and the role that it plays in quality control. I responded to that at the time, and I thought that sort of closed the matter because I didn't get any, you know, negative response from Steve on that. But another board member mentioned it to me the other day, so I just thought I'd flag it that it might return, and that my feelings on that are fairly trenchant.
Bill Smith. I spoke with Steve and Bill Graham last night. Mm-hmm. At some length, 5-minute conversation, and both expressed some concerns about how Steve's comments were received. I made it quite clear to them that I too was, I wasn't pleased with the comments coming from the chair, the way they were. I also expressed what I expressed here, that if they were taken more as a peer review for a technical journal, I saw them in a very different light. Steve, in particular, I think he's genuinely concerned about the quality of the reports. I think it's more as a peer as opposed to oversight. I am concerned with the board inserting itself too much into the process, as we mentioned the other day. Because quality can be used as a way of control, and not necessarily in the terms of the quality of the report, but in terms of we're going to control the content of the report. I don't think that was his intention, but I also my concern is that Steve may not. May not understand some of the political shenanigans that might go on if the board was in a quality control capacity.
The conversation was to check whether to see whether I was just going going native or just going out on my own and expressing views that weren't held by the rest of the review team.
There were some comments about that.
Well, certainly Bill Graham said that he thought I overreacted to it. So.
He did. I made it clear to Bill. I reacted at least as strongly as you did. But I then continued and said, but when I viewed them in a different light, then my perception changed. But that, you know, these comments did come from the chair of the board, and that's a perception. And it was a very good conversation with both of them. I also made it clear that our work had been very difficult at times, challenging. We were very tired. Not necessarily at the moment, but we had been doing this a long time. It was very difficult, and to see some of the comments that we received was basically difficult to take it at that moment.
That's a very fair comment, Bill. Thank you. And I agree with everything that you say, including the spirit in which I believe Steve was making a lot of the detailed comments. I think that they're worth looking at. I think that as chair, that this is part of what I was trying to get the conversation with the board about this morning, is actually trying to just establish what the role of the board is with regard to these reviews, and that in fact it would be much more helpful, in my view, for future review teams to have regular meetings with the
the Spill Smith. I agree. I think that's an important thing. The board, from my perspective, was unusually absent, and as a consequence, we asked for conversations, and they basically every request was politely rebuffed. But now we found ourselves in a situation where we have a draft final report, and some board members are reacting to it. Last night, Bill Graham thought that, at least in the executive summary, some of the wording was a little too pointed. And I said, you have me to thank for that, probably for most of it. But, there are a number of issues here that have not been addressed in a very long time, and they need to be addressed. So, the language may be a little blunter than you would prefer, but we're trying, basically, at least I, in writing some of those, was trying to make a point about this has been going on for a long time and it needs to be addressed.
Peter, Susan, did you want to? Peter and then Kathy?
I guess there's a few things to comment on there. So just while it's fresh in my head, your comments, Bill, about the language and the tone and so on. If we have a chance today, we will be with the board. We should ask them their opinion in a public forum, because it's very useful to have feedback behind the scenes. But as you've said, so far we've not had a lot of substantive input from the board. So if there are concerns about tone, it would be very useful to hear them. As you said, some of the language is quite pointed, but we in doing this did discover a lot of troubling things.
Yes.
We did discover that despite a broad community perception that accuracy is important, we've heard from the ICANN staff side that maybe it's a new requirement. We know that a quarter of the records are uncontactable. And we've heard a lot of community comment that it's really unacceptable and is causing huge problems for them. Similarly, the privacy proxy services, we know that there is a big demand for them. But despite that, no one decided to develop any policies yet. And so we have an industry which has grown up in the margins, essentially completely unregulated with no rules or standardised processes. So just on those two issues alone, never mind the IDN issue, the accessibility issues and so on, there are some big issues. So I think we can justifiably say we identified big problems. So, we wanted to point to those. On the issue of board involvement, let's hope it doesn't necessarily come up. But if it does come up, in terms of a reaction to an email, I think we should probably focus at the level of principle. You know, as a matter of principle, it's a public process. Submissions and comments to the review team should be public. We're happy to have, obviously, private discussions and so on. But in terms of matters of perception, if written communications are exchanged between people with formal roles within the organisations, then that they need to be public, I would think. Otherwise, if it becomes discoverable at a later stage, it's going to cause problems for everyone involved.
I completely agree. And if I can make a personal request, I would find it much easier if others made that point rather than me.
If I could just add, as a very concrete example, I'm a government representative here. Every communication I have is discoverable under Freedom of Information Act in Australia. So that email would be able to be discoverable if my involvement in this review team was the subject of an FOI request. So it could become public. And the perception, if there was an exchange of comments between the chair of this review team and the chair of the board, and it hadn't been made public, would question the independence of this team, I think. So in terms of the tone and so on, that's whatever. But in terms of a matter of principle, I think it's pretty clear. Yeah.
And it was entirely on that level that I was reacting, because I'm always open to comments. And reading through Steve's comments, I thought a lot of them were very fair. It was the public process, the matters of perception that I feel deeply uncomfortable about.
It's funny, just because I've known Steve for many years, and he tries not to offend people, and I think I'm glad you told him how you felt about the comments. Mm-hmm. And, on behalf of all of us, that the tone and what he was talking about struck us as very odd.
Sorry to interrupt you, Kathy, but I felt quite uppity on behalf of you guys because, I feel like it's been a privilege to know you and work with you all, and I've been extremely impressed by your professionalism and the quality of this team. So
that said, there's been a culture for 10 years on this issue, which has been pretty rough and tumble. Mm. And people kind of really get to their point fast on who is, because they know no one's going to talk to them for more than 1 minute once they start the subject. So what I did, I kind of read his comments in light of the culture that has been. Regarding the executive summary, in some ways we're trying to create the culture that will be. And in that vein, I wanted to suggest that we change the tone of the executive summary, and let me tell you why. And this might be interesting for the board also, just as a kind of... I didn't mind the tone because I really wanted... the tone in the draft because I really wanted people to wake up and see what we were talking about. This community that's glazed over its eyes for 10 years at Who is really trying hard, though. You have no idea how many hours we've all spent on this. You have some idea. I was with us on the process of, waking people up and saying, this is what we're hearing. But that was the waking up part, to get them to pay attention to our recommendations, and I think they did. I've heard from lots of people that they're offended by some part. The Who is studies are you'll see it in the registry stakeholder group comments, that, the Who is studies are kind of shunted aside when we spent a lot of time designing the Who is studies that are now in play. Of staff apparently feels badly. Everybody feels a little badly. And we could use that in kind of a destructive way, or now we can change its flavor a little bit, say now that we're all on board with the recommendations, we're trying to build this community in a positive way again, and blunt the rhetoric a little bit. Even if we didn't intend it, people misinterpreted it, because remember, they're going to hone into whatever section seems to impact them, so compliance or whatever. And so it might be nice to consider blunting it, because we're setting the tone for the future, and we're trying very hard to do that in a positive way. And what you're pointing out is, in a lot of ways, Steve kind of continued the way we've been talking about it, but let's draw a line in the sand. Let's, for us, make this constructive and positive, as so many of our meetings have been in the last few days.
Thank you. Susan, did you...
This is Susan. It's funny, Kathy, that
you know, that my interaction with ICANN staff has been pretty positive about our approach to the Who Is, and I have not gotten feedback from the staff that I talk to that are very involved in the Who Is issues, and they haven't felt we've been negative at all. They've felt we've been, you know, we've seen the reality of the situation and we're highlighting it. So even though there were definitely some comments or a few bits of wording in the executive summary that I think if we went back, you know, I had said, maybe we should tone that down at that time, but I also could live with it because it was true. So, you know, I'm not sure that we want to, I mean, if we do any redrafting of that, I would be really hesitant to change it very much because I think it was, you guys worked really hard on that document and it comes out with a pretty clear picture of what's going on. So, and we can blame Bill.
I'm always happy to do that.
And I'm happy to take it, especially in this case. I made it clear to both Steve and Bill last night that I was the author of that, largely, and that I was responsible for many of the pointed comments. And that, for me, the important thing, though, was not, you know, the comment or the commentary in the report, it was the recommendations. That's what we care about,
Is
moving the ball forward. And, you know, basically, people have problems with the blunt comments. Well, if they can truly demonstrate evidence to the contrary, I would change it. The last point for me is, for me, our report is not to the community or staff, and any of the blunt language in there is to the board.
Yeah.
They're the responsible entity here that has allowed this thing to go on for over a decade. Yeah.
I think that we will be making, we'll be just having another look at the entire report and in the light of what we've learned and what people have said to us. As you said, Peter, some of the things that we found were deeply troubling, and I wouldn't want us to pull any punches. However, if things are just an unsubstantiated comment, then we can perhaps fill out the substantiation for why we think that. I don't think anyone would have any problem with that. So I've got Kathy and then Peter.
Just to note, we're all authors. Nobody's name is on any of the chapters, so we're all the authors of this report. And it is to the community because a lot of this is going into PDPs. And what they're going to do is go back to the chapters to read what it was we were concerned about, and that in the end they're going to have to solve. And so in a lot of chapters we've given a lot of background on what we're concerned about. So I think the report is to the community, and we're all equally authors because our name is all in that front section.
Yeah, thanks for that, Kathy. And I think that's definitely the spirit in which we've gone forward here. We all signed off that executive summary and all aspects of it because we could all live with it. So, thank you, Peter.
I'll just agree with pretty much everything which was just said. I agree. We will all be considered authors, so I think we should all make sure that we're comfortable with what we're signing off. Blaming Bill aside, which of course we will do in private. Yeah. And as you said, Emily, I think we'll be revisiting the whole report. We had a very busy time finalising the draft. We will now have, I hope, six weeks to finesse. It's substantially there. As far as I've seen so far from the community comment, there isn't the need for wholesale rewrites and revisions. It's as we've already said, it's clarity and potentially some tone issues. I can well imagine, from having not read the executive summary in its entirety for a little while, I've keep revisiting the recommendations before each of our meetings here, but I can well imagine that what the two or three phrases which are most likely to cause the problem. And look, to be honest, if they had the edges around it a little bit, but they kept their firm tone without necessarily the spiky bit, I'd probably be happy. I think so long as we get the message that there is a problem, and it really is a problem, and it really does need to be fixed. I think that's the message. Whether it's finger pointing or it's broken or the community has dropped the ball or something, we can probably not say it in those ways. But I hope that helps.
Well, I think we seem to be on the same page there. That I think we'll be so. The way I'd like to approach this next meeting is to attempt to have some sort of high-level discussion about this process, about the role of the board in the process, what we will be doing now, the kind of general tone of feedback that we've had in our tours to date, and then listen to what they have to say. As I said, if I could particularly request others to take the mic on the Steve-Emily exchange, that would really help me. But that would...
I think it'll come up.
I don't know.
Do you want a follow-up question? Do you?
I think it would help to make the point that Peter made, encapsulated so briefly, is the issue about this being a public process. And one of the things that I would like to let the board know is how impressed I am about the way that ICANN has gone on about sort of creating a process which is very transparent. You know, that these discussions are all recorded, they're transcribed, they will be available. The interactions and the comments that we have received from different stakeholders are very apparent, and so this, I think, gives everybody, in you know, most of all ICANN, a great deal of protection, because the matters of perception, as you described it, are very powerful. They are very important for the credibility of the organisation and the process. So, yeah, we might just deal with it on that level, Bill.
And we might there were, for me, there were a couple of other instances. The call with senior staff that was not recorded, no request for recording was made. I don't intend to, there's no blame here, but it didn't happen. It was one of very few meetings that we held where there wasn't a recording and a transcript. Private communication from the chair to an independent review team. It's not a good place to be. That's the team's perspective. So I think we could state it as
comments are welcome.
But ICANN has done a fabulous job, in my opinion, in this setting up this in a very open manner. But just some suggestions for. To be sure to carry through on it. That's all. And not in a, this is not a, for me, it's not a huge negative. It's just, we all need to be cautious in this process. I think we all have private conversations, right, in these things. It helps. But if you're going to make a substantive comment or something, it has to be on the record. Right.
Steve's comment was on the record, though, wasn't it? Because he submitted it. I thought he submitted that letter.
I submitted it.
Oh. It was a private communication. Yes.
It was a private communication.
I apologize. This whole time I thought, because I saw it on the comment list.
No, that was because I said it should be on the comment list, because it was comments.
Okay, so it's his name, but he submitted it after.
He didn't submit it.
It was not submitted.
So it was a private email.
Are you sure?
Discuss it or just to give any public comments on it?
No, it's on the comment list.
He wrote a one-to-one to me, off list. I responded and copied the list in so that it would be on the record, and then I made a specific request to Alice to grab his comments and put them on the public comment. And I got no resistance from Steve to that. I'm sure that would have been his intention, because how could he object?
Okay, because I always thought he said, this is what I'm going to submit. Okay.
Yeah, It placed Emily in an especially uncomfortable position, and then the review team by extension. So. You could drop a few of the letters at the end of that word, and that's FYI. Also told to us.
Just an FYI, your meeting with the board is public, so there'll be an audio cast and recording and so on. So the board meeting will be in Tiffany's. Do you know where that is? It's very close to here. It's on the left-hand side. Thank you.